Hello everyone, it is such a joy to be sharing with you again. Today it's a little bit of brata, a little bit of bonus. About a week and a half ago, I had the opportunity to share in a conversation on a radio segment called Woman of Worth, and I had a nice conversation with Marklin Edwards, and I want to share that with you, my family. So please take a listen. Enjoy, and as usual, I look forward to your feedback.
Who is a talented, and I want to believe she has lots of letters behind her name, and that she has been to seminary, she has been to college and all them kind of good stuff. But I also want to believe that she is very hands-on. She should have a few skills up her sleeves. Am I right, Sandrina Davis? How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. There are some skills I'm hoping to improve on, but I do have some skills.
Oh, you got some skills. The girl got skills. That is good to know. We need some skills in this day and age, because trust me, with COVID-19 on in earnest, you know, lots of people, they really have to, you know, dig deep and pull out all the stops so that they can still eat bread and keep a roof over their head. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct.
That's right. Lots of working from home, and it's times like these that we realize that, okay, then I don't know, I got this in me, I can do this. And now you realize that, whoa, you don't have to rely on the 9 to 5, because there's something else that you can do that will really keep you motivated and keep you going. But we didn't say reverend, we didn't say evangelist, we didn't say pastor, bishop, or prophetess, Sandrina Davis. We just said, hey, Sandrina Davis. Some people are wondering, Sandrina Davis, she's not a pastor, not an evangelist. Who is she?
She's a servant.
She's a servant. So yes. Servant Sandrina Davis.
That's who I am.
That's who you are. A passionate young lady who is on a mission to make a difference, one life at a time. How do you plan to do this?
Well, I'll use you know, just a couple aspects to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, well, let me not say obviously, I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of the Lord, and I have decided to use the skills and talents that the Lord would have placed in me to serve my church, the church that I attend locally, as well as to serve, you know, just on a larger scale within the denomination that I am a part of. When you talked earlier and talked about, you know, using your skills, immediately I thought to myself that a lot of us have to go back to what it is that comes naturally to us, what it is that God has placed inside of us. So many times we've abandoned that and have been trying to fit into, you know, other molds.
Oh, yes.
But if we stop and think carefully, we would remember exactly what the Lord has placed in us and what comes naturally to us. For many people it's speaking, for many people it's singing, for many people it's writing. But if we go back to those things, you know, we can use those things to take us a little bit further. It has started to rain where I'm at. I hope you're not hearing the sound of abundance.
I would love to hear it.
So I do that in church. Professionally, I've been working, I've had the joy of working in the nonprofit sector for the last 9 years, and I believe that's just like an extension of, you know, my Christian values, being able to serve others, being able to help others.
Right.
More recently, I'm working with an organization called International Samaritan, and I lead the Jamaica aspect of that operation, where we work directly with communities that are near garbage dumps. So actually work a lot with residents in the Riverton community, and it has been a rewarding experience just to meet the people, see the bright minds and beautiful faces, and just to be able to help them on their journey to breaking out of poverty. As a part of growing, you know, as an individual and as in the Lord, it is important that we study the Word. And so I've had the privilege, I believe, of being able to pursue, you know, further studies in the Word of God with our denominations, Bible College, and more recently, the opportunity by scholarship to do further studies with that Washington D.C. seminary. So it has been an interesting journey, and I want to talk a little bit about what we do in the COVID time, because it rocked all of us.
Yes.
It changed the way we do things.
That's true.
But I'm hoping that it brought us what brought our focuses back to God, and that everything that we need, He has given us. So there are some people who may be feeling a little out of balance now, and, you know, topsy-turvy. But I want to just tell somebody that God knows that we can manage this time, and God knows that we can manage this season. Mm-hmm. And the strength that we need, He's already prepared it for us. And the provision that we need, it's already there. We need to ask for it, believe that it is coming, and operate like we remember what His word says that He is. All-powerful, all-knowing, and still in control of everything that is happening around us.
I tell you, Sandrina Davis, listeners, is my guest, my woman of work this afternoon. And you've given a lot in terms of volunteerism, and now heading the International Samaritan, you're now the country director for Jamaica. What brought on that desire and that zeal to be giving back? You know, you're well educated. You have your master's in business administration. You know, you've been to seminars, as you mentioned earlier on. But here you are giving back, and this is volunteerism to an extent. It's not like, well, you're getting a big paycheck at the end of the day. You know you're giving back. What has you laid that kind of mission and passion on your heart?
I grew up as a little girl in a community called Franklintown. Franklintown.
Yes.
My parents had a lot of us.
Hold on. Don't rush it. Don't take your time with me. When you say a lot, for some people, two, that's a lot. For some, 10. That's a whole lot. When you say a lot, like what we're talking about?
I have 7 brothers and 1 twin sister, and I am the baby.
So 7 brothers, 7. let me do the math now. 7 and 1 twin, twins 2, that's 7 and 2, 9, and you're the baby, that's 10.
No, I'm a part of the twins.
Oh, you're so a part of the twins, so that's 9. Yes. You see, my math's kind of off. So you're 9, and you're the baby, so you're the spoiled one. You had no problems growing up. Everybody took care of you. You had your clothes, you had food. Everybody looked out for the little one.
No, we didn't always have a lot of food.
Take me down
there.
Talk to me.
We didn't always have a lot of anything.
Really?
We didn't live in a 4-bedroom house.
What?
That could hold all of us. We did not.
Oh, my goodness. 9 of you?
Nine of us.
So how you manage all of that? Talk to me about, you know, your early days.
My early days was what exposed me to charity.
Whoa.
I got scholarships in primary school. Service clubs helped to pay my school fees. Church people helped me with things that I needed. And so as I was growing up, I was always a recipient of charity, a recipient of help. And in my mind, I knew that whenever I was able to do differently, I wanted to be able to touch a life in a similar way.
Whoa.
That pretty much sums it up.
That sums it up, because you basically live the life that you're helping out with now.
Exactly. And it makes it easier to relate to the individuals. Mm-hmm. I share my story.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily go into any community. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable, because I remember it, I know it, and I've lived it. And so it's easy to talk to a young girl and mm-hmm. to say, listen, where you're starting is definitely not where you have to end. You
right.
can have a dream for your life. You
right.
can have a vision for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe strongly in my heart that the Lord would have been preparing me for the journey. And the journey has not been easy. There have been lots of challenges along the way. But, you know, we're continuing on. We continue
Good.
To push.
How did you maneuver those challenges?
Well, I had a very strict mom. Let's start there.
Okay, then.
And at the time, the laws about not hitting the child and all of that was not a big thing.
Okay,
so if
good.
If we miss up, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
But bigger than that was her voice in my ear telling me as many times as she could that education would have been the key to moving forward.
Right.
And I want to say that everybody needs to have their own dream and goal. My goal when I was younger was not money, was not a big job. I just wanted my own room. That I would say, because we all the way pack up in the one
oh,
little space
Jesus.
Here.
I feel your pain, Sandrina.
Yes.
I feel your pain. You wanted your only dream you had at the time, back then, was to have your own room, your own
yes.
space, your own bed, your own pillow, your own sheet.
My own everything. And so to this point, you know, being by myself,
yes.
still feels good. It still feels like a win, because we spent so much time, a lot of us, in a small space.
Oh my.
My dream was I wanted my own room. And I was motivated by that.
Praise the Lord, you got your own room now, eh?
Yes, glory be to God, hallelujah.
give me a sneak peek into the life of Centrina, you know, back then, everybody in one room. What was that like for you? What was that experience like for you? Why you really wanted to get out and get your own room?
When I share, I always tell people my mornings would be 5 a.m.
Yes.
On the corner of the street, my mom would be plucking my sister and my hair.
Okay.
Five doodle plaits every morning. If she felt in a good mood on a Friday,
yes,
we'd get our hair pulled up in one, right?
Okay,
but
then.
In her mind, yes, little girl must look like
little girl. Exactly. I love your mommy.
So that was how it started. And then while she was combing her hair, my brothers would be walking across the street to catch water,
because
we didn't have running water in our pipe. We didn't have that. And so that's how it would start. We would get something in the mornings, and we would be sent off to school, and something would be porridge, you know, most times.
Yes.
It's being able to stretch for a lot of us. And there were times when we wouldn't have had to be leaving with lunch money, because it was not there.
Yes.
My dad was the only one who was working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we need to go to school and learn on hungry belly, contrary to what a lot of children are saying. No.
Oh, Lord. You learned on hungry belly. You learned.
Yes, I did. I learned with hungry belly because I had a goal in mind.
Yes.
And when we come home now, we knew we were going to have dinner, whatever it is. I mean, some days we had high hopes that it was going to be stew peas, right? And then it turned out to be seasonalized. But we were taught
like today being Wednesday, you're going on and say, yes, you're going to get stew peas today, eh?
Yeah, but sometimes it didn't happen. But we were taught to be content with whatever we had to satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I went to school and brought home a pencil that was not mine.
Oh, Jesus.
And I thought I was solving a problem because I lost my pencil and I got one from a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, my man, my mother gave me some licking up because she said, if you're with teeth. And I'm not raising no teeth. There were many fundamental
things. It's not yours, so you should not bring it home.
There were many fundamental lessons taught in weird ways as I look back at it now.
Yes.
But it has shaped who I am and how I live my life. So high school, I tried to focus on education, and because of that, it would allow for support. So I was Builders Club president and valedictorian and spelling bee champion.
Whoa.
And as you did well, you got support. Somebody would say, okay, we'll handle the school fees. We'll pay this. We'll do that.
Okay.
And when I went to high school, big up Alpha.
All
when
right.
I went to high school.
The Alpha.
I was in a circle of 10 friends, and a lot of those ladies were persons who bought me lunch every day because they were from well-off family.
Yeah, them come from uptown and you come from downtown.
Exactly. And they never asked me anything. They just saw that there was a gap at lunchtime and they supported.
Whoa. So it goes to show, though, that even though that your condition or your situation is not the end all, that's not the destination, because then at the end of the day, once you are able to do good and prove to others that, hey, there is potential, there's a gift in me, there's talent in me, I just need the motivation, I just need to push, somebody will always be there to render some assistance.
And an attitude. You have to have the right attitude.
What is it? Talk to me about attitude, because a lot of us don't have that. What is an attitude that you use to propel you to where you are today?
So, one, you have to wake up every day understanding that things can change for you at any moment. I know sometimes it's tempting to think about, you know, woe is me, this is the worst, it's not going to get any better. But you have to wake up, as it were, speaking the things as though they are.
Yes.
Getting up knowing that, you know, I don't have the money yet. I don't have the car
yet.
I don't have, in my case, the husband yet. But
you have him now? You have him now?
No, yet. Sir. That's why
we're
I say yet.
Oh, we still at yet. Okay.
So you have to. But the point is, you have to have the attitude that things can change. And when I want to talk about young people who go into jobs that it's not your ideal job, it's not my dream job, but I start here.
Yes.
Have the right attitude. Mm. Going in knowing that I want to learn everything that I possibly can, because one day the chair upstairs in the AC room could be mine.
What
but I have to have the right attitude to prepare for it. There are many people, Markland, that are passed over for opportunities because they have a bad attitude.
Bad attitude.
Not because they're not qualified. Not because they're not the perfect fit, that their attitude is off. So you have to shape your attitude.
And
operate in the spaces like the light that Christ says that we are. It doesn't mean you're going to roll over and let people walk over you.
No.
You can be assertive.
Right.
But people must see Jesus in the way we treat others.
Yes.
In our facial expressions.
Yes.
Because if we look pop down and when we go street meeting, right?
Yes.
When we set up tent, it's the same people going to say, but if I saw it, go for them.
No, I ain't trying Jesus.
Exactly. So our attitude is going to be very important.
Very important. Good. At what stage in your life you accepted Christ as your personal savior?
Listen to me. Here we know. You carry on a different story, right? And it may help somebody. I've been going to the same church for like 6 years.
Hello, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry about the guess.
I got baptized 2 times, Mark.
2 times, okay then.
At age 12 and at age 22 after having my son.
Okay.
So that was that. Let me put it there. So I got pregnant in church.
In church?
But you have to call me back for that story.
Oh, Jesus. give me a little piece. How did they deal with you? What was the experience like in a nutshell?
3 points, I will say. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was a traditional church.
Okay.
I had to go through the shame and embarrassment. However, I believe as the Bible defines restoration is what I was able to enjoy.
Amen.
So I'm grateful for that.
Amen. That is good.
Happy that the Lord took me through that time.
So all is not lost. So to some young girl right now who is in church and, you know, God forbid they're pregnant, all is not lost if they put you at the back bench. All is not lost if they write you off. All is not lost if they don't want to talk to you. All is not lost if they don't call to you anymore, because then they think that, boy, you went out and you did what you did and, you know, you're living in a shame and that kind of stuff. All is not lost because there is restoration.
There is, and as a former backbencher, all is not lost. And I like how you put it that way.
Like a former backbencher, you're no longer the backbench.
No, man, sometimes I'm on the rostrum.
Glory to God.
Recipient of grace and mercy.
Amen.
But I want persons to understand that the truth is, everybody will not deal with it the way you want them to. Because sometimes people just disappointed. You know, they had high hopes for you.
Yes,
they were
hoping
you were going to be the next worship leader. And it was cut short.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have to look and say, boy, maybe they're just really hurt by what I have done.
Yes.
Not that they hate you.
Right.
And I had to learn that. I think my church loves me.
Mm-hmm.
They were just really hurt and disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And they dealt with it how they chose to deal with it at that time.
Right.
Many people coming after me would have had, you know, a different experience.
Yes.
And I'm happy that they would have been able to enjoy a different kind of experience en route to restoration.
Oh my goodness.
The title of my podcast that I recently launched simply says this, and it is How I Live. The process is necessary for purpose.
The process.
So sometimes some route is easy, some route is hard.
Yes.
But trust me, if we believe that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose,
it will
work out.
And look at you today, after all these years, look at you. You have served in many departments in different capacities, including media ministry, youth and Christian education, youth department, praise and worship leader, choir leader. I mean, you've done a lot where young people are concerned, you know, and you presently serve as the National Youth and Discipleship Department of the New Testament Church of God. Talk to us about the impact you know that you've had on young people, the lives that you've seen transformed right before your very eyes, and some of the challenges that young people today are experiencing. Because back then, we never have no social media, no Instagram, no internet, no Twitter, nothing for distract like what's going on today.
Yeah, Madeline, having been a young person myself, because I feel like I'm getting older now, right? And also having walked through the road of some of the challenges, I would not say all, because I think our young people now are going through some different
type of challenges. They're going through some different type of challenges.
Different type of challenges. One of the things that I've realized, and I learned this a little later in my life, that any Christian young person that really dives into the word of the Lord will have a greater chance of walking, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. Because the word, if you are in the word, learning the word, understanding the word, and you know what God requires of you, and it will change how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
When we are hopscotching and bouncing about, it really sometimes points to the fact that we've not spent enough time getting into the word of God, but we're building our walk based on what people say,
mm-hmm.
somebody else's example, and so on. At some point, Christianity has to become very deep and very personal,
okay.
and it is the word of the Lord that will guide how we live. Yes, and the Holy Spirit to lead us along our path. But if our young people go into the Bible, trust me,
mm-hmm.
it will help them to navigate the challenges of this life.
So
there
you're
is a
saying
solution
spending time in the Word, yes.
In the Bible.
Spending time in the Word will help in a significant way in terms of your walk with Christ.
Definitely.
But what say you to the young people who are doing that? They're reading the word, they're spending time in prayer and fasting, they're very much active in church, but still nothing not happening for them. They can't see their way out, you know, they're not being able to fulfill their dreams and their desires, you know, all the kind of stuff that's going on. What do you say to them? Because you must have some of those.
I will say that there is that one scripture that talks about iron sharpening iron,
mm-hmm.
will always be relevant for every phase of our life. And I challenge young people listening to me, no,
mm-hmm.
look at your circle, right? Take out a piece of pen and a paper, write down the names of those who you call your friends.
Okay.
Right? Then look at every name and say, all right, what is it that I get or pull from this person? Or what is it that I pour into this person? Is it positive things? Is it righteous things? And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes the bulk of the people that we spend our time with are not those that are sharpening us in the way that we should be sharpened.
Whoa.
It could
whoa.
Be people that are, in Jamaican terms, dulling us out, if you understand what I mean.
I like they might dull you out.
Yeah.
So you're
so we
saying.
Have to look at that.
Because they have a Jamaican proverb that says, show me your boy, you say, show
Amen.
Me your friend, and I tell you who you are. So you're
Amen.
Saying that the associations, in terms of our friends and our colleagues, those that we have in our circle, they have a lot to do with our walk with Christ?
They have a lot to do with our walk with
mm.
Christ. And they have a lot to do with how serious we take our walk with Christ, because you're talking to these people all day online.
Right.
You're spending time with them.
Right.
So if the quality of the interactions or the quality of the conversation is not, as it were, seasoned with grace, then
whoa.
Who are you going to grow?
Whoa.
How are you going to grow? It can't. Growth is not going to come from Sunday morning
mm.
and Wednesday night only.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we eat food 3 times a day. Talk truth. So we have to figure out how we're going to nourish ourselves
yes.
along this journey.
Yes.
So we can stand against the wiles of the enemy.
Yes.
And above all, stand up.
Stand up. I
and it,
tell
it, it
you.
Takes a practical approach to it, because sometimes it sounds very over our head.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I am very honest with God. My friends will tell you,
mm-hmm.
whatever my challenges are, I tell the Lord and I tell my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because my friends are going to come back to me for accountability.
Okay.
And so we hear you say you're having a problem with this. I hope you're not going there. So I hope you're not doing that. I hope you're not doing
okay.
this.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Because there are those of us who, what we want everybody around us to think that, oh, we got this. We got this. I'm
exactly.
saved. I'm sanctified. I know how to walk. I know how to talk. I speak in tongues and I'm always in prayer and fasting. But deep down on the inside, hey, it's a different story going on the inside.
And the enemy wants us to believe that there's some joy in secret society. Everything is private, everything is secret. But what happens when it is private and secret
mm-hmm.
is that you drown and you die.
Whoa.
Every time somebody see that something happening is the final call.
Oh my.
But if we open our mouths, that's
mm-hmm.
why people say testify. You have to talk up.
You must talk up. Talk
the
up.
The baby
you.
Cries when they're hungry. The
yeah.
baby cries when they want to be changed, because
yes.
they're saying, hello,
yes.
there is a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to open our mouths. I'm youth leader, I'm struggling with this. Pastor, I have a problem with that. And I don't care if you take my story and tell somebody else, as long as I get help, you know.
Yes.
Because what you will be having is the past. You don't have anything on me anymore.
Oh, bless the Lord. All you have is the past. You don't have the present, and
exactly.
you don't have the future. Because every time you see them, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored.
WhatsApp saying a different story.
WhatsApp saying a different story. Instagram
mm-hmm.
saying something different.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes. And those archived conversations,
exactly.
and they're all saying something different. But when you meet them, oh, praise the Lord, brother, I'm blessed and highly favored.
Exactly.
So you're saying we need to talk. and we need to keep it real.
Exactly. Especially with young people. You
with young
have
people.
To have to keep it real.
Keep it real with young people, I tell you. Listeners, you must be enjoying this by now. Sandrina Davis, a passionate young lady who is on a mission to making a difference in one life at a time. So you're not about transforming all of Jamaica or all of Rawlington Town or all of Kingston. One life at a time. And what have been some of the success stories? Because we have challenges. We can always talk about the trials, but there must be some success stories.
I am drawn to, I would say, people that represent how I saw myself when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that Franklin Town, not Rawlington Town.
Franklin, sorry.
Is where I grew up. And so I do spend a lot of my time going back to my old primary school at Franklin Town Primary.
Right.
To before COVID,
yes.
I was going to tutor students,
mm-hmm.
Just to help. If I saw young girls who seemed shy or mm-hmm. who seemed like they had challenges, I would befriend them, because mm-hmm. sometimes all they want is somebody to tell them, hello, greatness is in you, you know, and
really?
It's going to come out.
Whoa.
And it's going to come out. And so I spent a lot of my time at my primary school, giving up my time, giving up my energy, and
yes.
also with the work that I do in the nonprofit sector, I am able to just enjoy being able to I have 50 scholarship students in Riverton.
50?
50.
Whoa.
And we not just only pay fees and buy books, like we're talking to them on a weekly basis.
Yes.
We're wanting to find out what their problems are. We're
mm-hmm.
talking to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, you know, how they grow and they develop, and trust me, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Awesome. You are like a youth advocate. You're like a youth advocate.
Well, according to the statistics in our altered youth category, I don't know why they say, you know, I'm here return age, you're not youth anymore, but I'm advocating nonetheless. It's my youthful exuberance.
Indeed. I tell you, and I love what you're doing. And again, because of your association with all these NGOs, then it also make you a very, very resourceful person, so you can pull on all these NGOs and give back to the society.
That is true.
It's important
that people nurture every relationship. Sometimes we burn our bridges too much.
Remain
cordial with people, because you never know when you meet a young person that needs counseling. If you call a counselor that you met a year ago and say, hey,
mm-hmm.
I have somebody, can you help me?
Right.
You know? And so you have to nurture your relationships and don't burn every bridge. Like,
indeed.
Look at what can happen in the future.
That's right, because there might be a situation that this one might not be, you can't handle this. You might need to take it a little further, and then, hey, you have to pull on somebody. So don't burn your bridges. Keep those relationships going. Jamaica Cancer Society, you know, Relay for Life, you're part of that. You're the Kiwanis Club of friends, across the borders. You volunteer at so many different things. In 2019, winner of the U.S. Embassy Women's History Month Grand Pitch Competition. So you must have visa and all them kind of things, don't it?
I do. But that didn't come as a result of the competition.
I know, just messing with you. I know. So when you're serving all these different areas, but again, I think it's one common goal, because it comes right back to young people. It comes right back to volunteerism. It comes right back to impacting lives. That you've touched. Why? How do you feel overall?
I will say this, and I'm so glad as you were talking, it came back to me. Thank you, Lord. Old Testament, the kings used to approach the prophets before any big decision,
mm-hmm.
right? But for somewhere along the line, we in Christendom have felt like there's not a place for us in the world,
mm-hmm.
and I hope you get where I'm going.
Right.
Our influence needs to be everywhere. So that is my mission. I want to be, so when decisions are being made, a Christian perspective can be in the decision making.
Right.
The separation of church and state, I'm not so sure. Because the king used to go to the prophet before he even go talk to the people.
Yes,
so
yes.
In our workplaces, people need to be coming to us for advice.
Mm.
In parliament, of course, we need to be there.
Mm.
Because our light is supposed to dispel the darkness. If our light is bundled up one place, then darkness is being grown in another area.
Oh my.
So we have to figure out how we're going to be putting ourselves strategically into all these areas, so the light that is within us can be shone in the different places. So I want to volunteer, I want to serve, I want to be on boards and so on, so that I can share my light mm-hmm. with the people that I will come in contact with. Mm-hmm. I can't share it to the people who already have the light all the time.
Right,
you understand?
Yes.
So we have to think about our Christian influence in mm-hmm. a whole different way mm-hmm. and figure out how we're going to, led by the Lord,
right.
find ourselves in some of these places to shine light.
Amen, amen,
so
amen.
I want to shine light in some of these places.
In some of these places, would Parliament be one of these places? Would you consider
definitely.
Politics?
In mm-hmm. the future, you know, they take them at a certain age, so I have to wait a little time.
And those who are there not leaving anytime soon, I tell you.
So, you know, I just take my time. As God provides the opportunity,
right.
He opens the door,
right.
I am certainly
so you believe that Christians should be strategically placed across yes. the spectrum, across yes. sector and yes. boards and parliaments, wherever decisions are being made that is yes. going to impact the lives of people. Then a Christian must be there.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Awesome.
So we're backing up our intercession mm-hmm. with some other action.
Okay. So we can't just pray and fast and watch God work. You need to be there in some of these places to make decisions and to impact lives.
I believe that is necessary.
When you're not doing all these things, when you're not doing quote-unquote church work, when you're not mentoring young people, you know, talking to the girls on the street, the guys on the street and whatever, I mean, what do you do for you? Because, you know, you still got some youthness in you, you know, that kind of thing. What do you do for you?
Outside of working, which I do a lot, I do enjoy spending a lot of time with my friends.
Okay.
And I like eating food. I'm not going to be shy.
When you say eat food, what kind of food
do you eat? So if a restaurant is there, I am there. And if not, everybody can always come by my house and I'm cooking or they're cooking or whatever. But just spending time with friends is mm-hmm. what I enjoy. And I love music.
Okay.
So
what kind of music
I find
you
a lot
to?
Of solace in praise and worship.
Okay.
If somebody could just bring Bethel music to Jamaica,
okay.
I would be very happy. And
all
at
right.
the front row.
Good. You got links. You have links, so we could we can talk.
Yeah, that was something. But the truth is, I don't have a lot of free time. But it's a part of something that I subscribe to. I say, mm-hmm. my mommy always said, the devil finds work for idle hands.
Okay, so you try not to be idle.
Yeah, me just trying not to be idle. Come here and get you out of trouble. So
you mentioned cooking earlier on. When you cook, what do you cook? What do you love to cook?
So I can't say this one because the fish ban, right? But I love parrotfish, right? I like salmon.
Whoa.
I love curry chicken. I eat curry chicken at least twice per week.
Really?
Don't judge me.
What do you have it with? Rice or food?
Dumpling have to eat, Markle, and dumpling have to eat.
Mixed flour dumpling or white flour dumpling?
Mixed flour dumpling, and I know people saying that's why she put on so much weight, but God, you see and know that I have a dumpling problem, Lord.
You have a dumpling problem?
I have a dumpling problem.
You love it boiled, fry, or what? Or it doesn't matter?
Any dumpling.
Once it's dumpling.
Yes, but just not lickle. We don't want a lickle dumpling.
Wait, you want some cartwheel? You want cartwheel?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Man. Sandrine, you're not going good.
We're not going good at all.
I just love this. So you love your curry chicken and your dumpling, and your parrot fish, your parrot and what you said, salmon.
Yes,
that's right. So do you cook a lot? You cook every day.
I will like a lot on Sundays. I cook a lot of fish.
And then you freeze and then you microwave
during the week. Yeah.
I tell you, awesome. And where is your son in all this?
Right here. I'm actually sitting down listening to me. He just passed PEP.
Okay.
He's going to KC.
Good.
In September, but he's been, I think, you know, everything in life happens for a reason. He
right.
grew me up, he matured me, and made me take life a lot more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go back in the past and change anything, but he has made me a better mother,
right.
a better woman, a mm-hmm. better Christian, trust me.
Right.
But I don't want to have such in front of him.
Right,
you understand?
Right,
I show him the wrong thing. So a lot of things that he's brought in my life, and mm-hmm. I just love him.
And I guess the life that you live, he will see Christ in you and come to know him as his personal savior.
Yes.
That
and also look at what he would want for himself in the future as
right.
well, you know?
Good. That is just awesome. So with all this work that you're doing, volunteerism and social media planning, media events, that kind of stuff, and your podcast, which is The Process is Necessary for the Purpose, and your son, where do you find, are you seeking God? Because you mentioned certain things you don't have yet. So when it comes on to, you know, a partner to assist and to, you know, make life a little bit easier for you when you go, you don't have to be talking to your son all the time or your friends. Hey, there is somebody you can, hey, honey, oh, how was your day? Talk to me about that area of your life. How do you approach that?
I'll be honest, it's not something that I approach. Those who hear my voice will be praying for me. I don't go looking. I don't pray and say, God, I need a husband. I just not done that.
You haven't done that? Is it because you don't need one? You don't want one? Why?
Oh, well, need is such a strong term. I think we all need companionship. But I also just, and this is just my own view,
mm-hmm.
I also believe one in the thing about, you know,
he that find it. So you expect
so
somebody to find you?
Yeah, it needs to come find me.
It must come find you. Yes. Where it must come?
And follow me on Instagram, @SansCastle. but on a serious note, though, outside of that, I also think that sometimes as single women,
yes,
we can spend some time on ourselves so
okay.
that when the man comes along, we are whole. Because we've been told about people to complete us
mm-hmm.
and people to this. But when he comes, I am whole.
You're whole, right. Everything
I'm
is in place.
I'm standing on my feet. I'm doing what I need to do. And
mm-hmm.
what I will do is we're going to add value to each other's life as
okay.
opposed to necessarily, you know, I'm waiting on him to fill a gap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be at that place.
Okay.
I mean, different strokes for different folks.
Right,
everybody
right.
doesn't have to do it like the way I do.
So
it,
you're trying to be whole. You're trying to make
yeah.
sure that everything, but then the flip side is that, you know, the man should always come and make sure that you're okay also.
But I think there's fundamental things in the Bible, you know,
okay.
man provides and protects and
mm-hmm.
so on. But life is changing, and so it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt
if we have something to add.
Okay, sounds good. So do you support? Do you endorse singles ministry? Do you are you a part of singles ministry?
My church has a singles ministry.
Are you a member?
And
are you a part
able
of it?
To attend some of the meetings.
Okay.
From time to time. The truth is, a lot of singles ministries are heavily populated by women because the church doesn't have all of the men.
How do you fix that?
Well, I think the church has to be attractive for men. And I'll use this example. I learned
Whoa.
This late because I have a son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so some of the things are very, I don't want to say sensitive, but let me just say it. You know, my son may not like all the songs that he sung at church because
mm-hmm.
he's trying to have a certain manly thing.
Yes.
But you know how things are when he gets emotional.
Yes.
I remember I used to complain that he must wear pants length and something every week and
mm-hmm.
he just wanted to wear jeans
yes,
and shirt.
Yes.
You know? So with all of those things.
So the church needs to be a little bit more attractive when it comes on to men,
to
attracting men.
The songs we sing,
yes.
the things we talk about,
mm-hmm.
how we describe our relationship
yes.
with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is my husband. I don't see a man saying that. Jonathan?
Sandrina!
Yes, sir.
I hear you. The church needs to be a little bit more attractive when it comes on to men. I agree with you. And that is the reason you find all these singles ministries, you know, with ton loads of women. And most of them will never end up getting a husband because they're not attracting men. You see?
Yes.
So the church needs to be a little bit more attractive when it comes on to men. I tell you. Sandrina, you have a whole lot to offer. And I know for those who can't get enough right here because they're almost out of time, how do we stay in touch with you? How do we follow you on social media?
I was serious. They can follow me on Instagram. It's SansCastle. So it's SansCastle.
Oh, SansCastle. Okay.
Yes. And my Facebook page, Sandrina Amanda Davis.
Okay.
And if you Google my name, trust me, I will come
you
up.
You will pop up somewhere, somehow. Now the CEO of this year great station, Gospel JA, is Wyatt Casey Davis. Are you related? You have shares
in
the company?
I'm not sure, you know, but if my uncle could just call me.
Oh my goodness, sounds good. Sandrina Davis, I tell you, a passionate young woman who is on a mission to impacting lives, one life at a time. Before you go, when is your next birthday?
February 5th.
Oh,
I'm gonna be 35.
You're gonna be 35? 35, you have any goals? You set any dreams that, okay, by the time I'm 35, I should have this? Well, you have accomplished one, getting your own room. You have that already.
I really want to take seriously my public speaking and motivational speaking thing.
Okay, okay.
And I've been pushing that for this year, so I know that by the time I'm 35,
yes,
that a lot of that will be realized. And the goal is really just to share my story. There's so much that you've not heard.
Yes.
To share my story with others and to hopefully inspire,
yeah,
young ladies, young men alike, whatever, somebody that they need to know that, listen, whatever is happening to you now, mm-hmm, trust me, 5 years from now, you're going to be laughing.
Yes.
Because God can turn things around. As he did it for me,
mm-hmm,
he can definitely do it for anybody else. And that is what I want to share. Don't be too bogged down by your present circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said in my podcast episode this week, the mess that you're in can be turned into a masterpiece, can be turned into a message, and it can also mature you. You have to be open to that.
Sandrina Davis, pray for young people before you go, please.
Oh Lord God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come to you. We are grateful that we can talk to you because you are our Father. We present every young person across the length and breadth of Jamaica. We are reminded in your word, God, that you know us all by the number of hairs on our heads. One thing I'm asking you, God, as your word says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. God, can you please lift up a standard? There's so many things that the enemy is throwing at our young people, even in this time and in this season. But we ask, Jehovah, that you will raise up a standard against it in the name of Jesus. And we push back everything that is anti-God. We push back everything that does not represent you, everything that is not sanctioned by you, every connection, every relationship, every opportunity. We push it back now in the name of Jesus. We speak blessing upon our young people. We ask that you take control over their minds. There's so many people that are struggling with what is going on in their head. And I pray, God, that your peace that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and keep our minds. We give you praise and we understand that it is done. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Sandrina Davis, thanks for your time, girl, and we'll be talking again, all right?
Certainly. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're
God bless
most
you.
Welcome. Stay in touch.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
All right. Plumbing supplies for all your plumbing needs and so much